The state we're in, how we treat each other around the world. Real voices, real stories from Radio Netherlands Worldwide.
This is The State We're In. I'm Jonathan Gruber with a special edition of the program on being gay in Africa. Now, in December, we broadcast an interview about radical new anti-homosexual legislation currently being debated in Uganda. Here's an excerpt.
Uganda would be a much healthier place if there was no sodomy that was taking place. If people are marrying husband and wife and producing children, we would be happy as Africans. The country would be much, much healthier off. Actually, for us, we are so afraid that that is why the gods are withholding rain. And so because we are very concerned about the climate, we want to make sure we do not displease God. We want to make sure we are faithful to the laws and the traditions of our African ancestors. And sexual deviance is out of our country.
That's Pastor Martin Sempa in Kampala. He's very influential in Uganda, and he has the ear of top politicians, even when suggesting that homosexuality is partly to blame for global warming. Now, if passed, the legislation would make having gay sex punishable by life imprisonment, and that people who fail to report homosexual activity to the police would also face a prison term. We got a lot of response from our listeners, many expressing outrage, but many others praised the pastor, including Balogire Ronald, who lives in Uganda.
I'd like to commend Pastor Sempa for the stand he's taken. This is the way to go, and we are supporting him. Our efforts are not on death per se, but on criminalizing sodomy, which is eating up our moral fabric. Bravo, Dr. Sempa.
Let's face it. If you're gay or lesbian, Africa is not an inviting place to live in. Homosexual acts are now illegal in 37 African countries, and many African leaders are becoming more outspoken in their condemnation of homosexuality. And this is why we're dedicating the whole program to the issue. To help us understand what's going on, I'm joined now by two men who know a lot about the subject.
Hello, my name is Scott Long. I'm the director of the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Rights Program at Human Rights Watch.
Hello, my name is Jan Swartz, and I'm a gay activist who grew up in Namibia but now lives in South Africa.
Well, Scott, in New York, is Human Rights Watch getting more reports of anti-gay attacks or actions right now from Africa?
Yeah, of course. Every time in the last 15 years, almost without exception, there's been sudden public visibility for LGBT people in an African country. There's been a political backlash that in some cases has been really extraordinary. In 1998, I remember, in Zambia, a young man, 24 years old, he was closeted, he decided he'd had enough, and he went into the offices of the largest Zambian newspaper and said, "I'm gay, interview me." The next day, there were 3-inch headlines in the papers saying, "Francis, 24, is gay." And for the next 6 months in Zambia, no politician could talk about anything else, and no politician could do anything but condemn homosexuality. It reached all the way to the president. We've seen how in Zimbabwe in 1994, a few LGBT people tried to rent a stall at a book fair, and the stall was burned to the ground, and the president started this 10-year campaign of declaring homosexuals to be people without rights. And in Nigeria, you know, a small group of men having sex with men decided to do a demonstration at an international AIDS conference in 2005, and this led to a bill very similar to the Ugandan bill being put forward.
Let's talk about Uganda, because it's what's happening in Uganda that are driving the headlines, driving this discussion. What's happening in Uganda was given a kickstart about a decade ago when two men decided to marry in the capital, Kampala. And this is Kiyimba Brown. He's a well-known pastor in Uganda who is also, quite remarkably, open about his sexuality.
When the wedding was going on, it was overjoyment. So straight people came in and they called the police. The police came, they arrested the couple that was wedding and other guys. So when the news reached the president that homosexuals are coming out even to have weddings, so the president was so furious and angry, and he ordered the police to carry out investigation and arrest all the gays and recipients that had been to the wedding.
And it was after this that Uganda's president, Yoweri Museveni, really got tough on what he called abominable acts. Now, Scott, why do you think it was at this point that he decided to get tough?
Well, I remember that quite well, and I remember also that at the same time, Daniel Arap Moi in Kenya also started making proclamations about homosexuals inside our borders and the need to root them out. So it was a kind of East African phenomenon. And governments were looking to bring people together, to unite them, to give them a sense of purpose, and nothing did that like finding an enemy. The other thing, and again, I think this is a cross-African phenomenon, is the incredible influx of U.S. evangelical churches and missionaries into Africa in the 1990s. And they were free to move into African countries and exploit this atmosphere of social discontent. And they were already doing it in Uganda starting in the 80s, and they were building a constituency for radical fundamentalist religious Christian ideologies.
Well, Ian, is being gay illegal in Namibia?
Being gay is not illegal in Namibia. It is very specifically the sodomy act between two men that is illegal in Namibia. And so we had to go out and train the police and train nurses and train the gay and lesbian community itself to say, but just being who you are does not make you illegal, does not sort of make you, people can't arrest you for being gay.
Well, that seems to have happened in Malawi. Two gay men had a traditional wedding ceremony in the capital, Lilongwe. What happened?
Well, these men did have a very public engagement party, which made it onto the front pages of all the newspapers with interviews. There were many witnesses. The police then went out and arrested the men.
What exactly happened to the two men?
There was a charge brought against them of indecent acts and public immorality. And there was this whole thing about, how dare these people use horrible Western immorality and then come into Malawi with it and then think they can get away with it.
And where are they now?
They're in jail.
They're still in jail.
Well, Scott, let me bring you in on that, actually, Scott. With the decision that has to do with what's decent or indecent, when you're bringing somebody to court, how do you prove that these men have been engaging in a behavior that is, for example, illegal in a country like Malawi?
Let me be very clear. These laws on indecency, these laws on acts against the order of nature, on sodomy, these are colonial laws. Without exception in Africa, the one exception is the new sodomy law in Rwanda. They're relics of British or French colonialism. And they were ways for the colonizers in the 19th century to bring in values of what was sexually, quote-unquote, normal, of what was decent, and impose them on the African continent. And they were used against traditional customs during colonial rule. They were used against traditional marriages. They were used against women going around with their breasts bared.
I understand that they did tests on these guys.
They performed forensic anal examinations, and these examinations are a relic of 19th century medical mythology.
What is a forensic anal examination? What is that?
They look in your anus, and they evaluate it by these mythological standards of, well, if it's funnel-shaped or strangely angled, then that must be a sign that you've been having anal sex. And these are totally bogus, and they're derived from 19th century medical mythologies, and we've actually documented them in places as far-flung as Egypt and Iran and India. But they're also practiced very widely in places in Africa, and they reflect the notion that you can somehow single out these people by the way their bodies look.
Is this increased antipathy towards homosexuality in Africa maybe a sign that things could actually be liberalizing?
Visibility often leads to violence, and the violence that we're seeing in many places across Africa is a backlash against the very real accomplishments. And the advances in visibility have been tremendous. The protection needs of people in danger across Africa are still tremendous. We still need to be addressing ourselves to police, to remind them in community after community that they have a responsibility to look after everyone, not just to pick and choose between the folks they like and the folks they don't like. But the fact is, there are more voices across Africa than ever before. And those voices, those unquestionably African faces and voices, are the ones that are moving into the future and that I believe will carry the day.
I want to absolutely agree with Scott and said he's hit it right on the nail, because conversation is happening. Young, proud, gay Africans are willing to really risk sort of life and limb to make the point that they're there and that they're part of African society.
Well, give me an example of that in your own life. Give me an example of how you see this victory from defeat, as it were.
Right. I grew up in an extremely conservative Catholic home. And so my adolescence was spent sort of praying that, you know, the next day I would wake up and be normal. It took me a long time, and it took me to go to university and to leave the country to realize that what I was and what I was experiencing was normal. I just 2 days ago returned from Namibia, and I was just absolutely amazed at how many young black gays and lesbians were just absolutely everywhere, and that people were very out and proud despite the risks that they were running.
How old are you now, Ian?
I'm 42.
And how old were you when you came out?
I was 18.
Did you ever think it would be like this when you were 18?
I must be honest with you, no. There were times when I wasn't quite sure that I would make it to the age of 42.
Why didn't you think you'd make it to 42?
Because there was a lot of aggression. There were many threats. There were times when I seriously thought about leaving the country because I just wasn't always sure how safe it was going to be for me and for the loved ones, for the people that were important to me. Things are not always going brilliantly in Namibia, and I'm sure they are going to be many steps backwards, but there's certainly also many steps forwards. And truthfully, Jonathan, if you were going to tell me that it was going to be possible to one day get married in South Africa, I would have thought that would be the biggest joke you were trying to make. But it is possible for me to marry my partner today, and I think that's quite amazing.
The genie is out of the bottle.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yes, and we're going to make very sure that there are more genies that are released from more bottles out there.
This is The State We're In. I'm Jonathan Gruber, and if you've got thoughts or comments on this very issue, just go to our website, tswi.org, or you can become a Facebook fan by going to facebook.com/tswi.org. And we'll be back shortly with this special program on being gay in Africa. Stay with us.